Good morning. I'm Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor of Midland First United Methodist Church. Glad that we could gather together on this second Sunday in Lent. Whether you are in the sanctuary or joining us on our live stream, glad that we could come together for worship and wish to welcome you into this space together. As we begin our worship today, we do have a number of announcements we want to highlight for you this morning. So first, I'm going to invite forward Denise Link, who serves as a member of our mission team and also as the leader of our worship team, who has several announcements for us this morning.
Denise? I'll try not to bore you this morning. Okay, well, the first announcement I have is in regards to the mission team. The Rescue Ministries of Mid-Michigan, who's now calling themselves R3M, which is a lot easier to say, they every Lenten season kick off a Operation Hope and Care. And what this does, it gives the community a chance to help them to provide hygiene packages for everyone who comes into the mission to stay. Adults and children, they all receive a Hope and Care tote. And so they're asking for donations of any hygiene products, shampoo, deodorant, shaving cream, anything, or maybe things for kids, baby wash maybe, body wash, any kind of thing that you would like to provide. They'd like to form a connection between those who need help and those who can help. And we, if you choose to be one that can help, we will have a tote out in the office area marked for Care and Hope. And if you would drop off any products, it goes through Lent. Right after Easter, I will take it over to Saginaw and give them our donations. And they do ask for full-sized bottles of things. They don't want travel size. Okay, so if you feel so inclined, please help us out. My second announcement, okay, is about Easter flowers. There is a insert in your bulletin today. If you would like to order Easter flowers, you have a choice of lilies, daffodils, or tulips, and you can order them in memory of a loved one or in honor of a loved one. And they are, what are the prices? That doesn't matter. Price doesn't matter. And then, okay, so these are due this coming Friday, March 6th at 3 p.m., and then the flowers will be here in the sanctuary on Easter morning. So, I think that's all. Thank you.
Denise,
oh,
think-
is it time for Drew?
Yes, it is, now that we're already on a roll.
Something about Drew is coming.
Thank you, Denise. I have a couple of comments to make. Yesterday, we had a roll bake. So thank you for everyone who helped make over 700 dozen yesterday. If you want to know who helped, just use your nose because they smell like cinnamon today. So, and for those, I'm checking the list to see who ordered, that you can pick them up in the parlor. We're going to have a cart over here by the Sunday school room to pick them up. That'd be great, and we do have extras. We have plenty of extras, so please come pick them up, okay? Thank you.
Drew, I didn't know if the applause this morning was because we thought you were giving us free ones.
Come on.
We dream God-sized dreams here. But indeed, all the funds go to our youth and the support of those in need as well. And so appreciate your support of our roll bake and those who participated in that tradition and practice of ours here at the church yesterday. I do want to highlight for after worship today, we do have our town hall in the chapel. These are important gatherings for us as a church. To listen to one another, to share each other's perspectives, to communicate in our life as a congregation. So after church from 11:15 to 12:15, we'll have a town hall. There'll be a briefing on this year's operating budget. Also, the introduction of the commitment to the cross, which is a commitment we're making to one another as a congregation. And then finally, addressing some of the security needs and security measures that we have introduced into the life of the church in the last 6 months or so.
So I invite you to that time and space. If you're joining us online, perhaps you're in Florida, or perhaps in your home here in Michigan, you're not left out. There is a link to the town hall that you can join on Zoom. If you go to your weekly e-blast, if you click on the announcement, it'll take you to the meeting at 11:15. So encourage us to gather together for the town hall after worship. Finally, one note about next Sunday's worship. Next Sunday, we spring forward. So before going to bed, invite you to reset your clock or simply anticipate worship through the postlude alone next week. The choice is yours, but want to remind you that we do spring forward next Sunday. Thank you.
on a journey today. Can we get away from the snow, I wonder, on our journey? What do you think? Who thinks we need a thumbs up, get away with it, or who wants more? What do you think? you wanna go on somewhere where there's not so much snow? So anyway, we're going to go on a journey. Isn't that exciting? We are going to be in Genesis today. We were in Genesis 3 last time. We are going to move a little further down to Genesis 12. And God came forward to Abraham, and he said, I am sending you on a journey with your family. You are leaving everyone. I wonder how you guys would feel about that all of a sudden. I wonder what he took with him. Well, if we're going to go on a journey, we might need a water bottle. Let's see what else I've got here. Passport. Might need a passport where we're going. I have no idea. We might need, might be a sunny area. We might need some sunglasses, a hat, right? You know, I might take my Bible with me too, right? On my journey, I might have some fun. No? Hey, we might go on a mission trip journey. I might need a hammer. What do you guys think? Yeah, it might be fun, huh? I might need a book to take with me to read. It might be this next week, right? I wonder how he felt, though. How do you think you'd feel if all of a sudden God came to you and said, I'm going to send you on a journey? He kind of did that with Adam and Eve last week, didn't he? Except that was because that they ate something they shouldn't have in the garden, right? So the guy got banished then. But this is a different type of journey. This is asking you with your whole heart to trust God and to make a journey with him, right? Let us pray as we go on our journey for Sunday school. Oh, I guess I could say our Bible verse today is Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So he had no idea where he was going. That would make me a little, I don't know, I'd have to really trust in God, wouldn't I? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all these children present. Help us as we discuss Abraham's journey. Help us to open our hearts up and to trust and have faith in you this next week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
As we come to a time of offering this morning, we invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pews. And if you don't know who you're sitting by in your pew, we invite you to take a look at that sheet as it's being passed back. And as the ushers are coming forward, we invite you to think about how God has blessed you this week. Where have you seen Him active? If the ushers will please come forward.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save
God, we give you thanks for all the gifts that you give us. We give you thanks for who you are. Use these gifts to further your kingdom throughout the world and to bless others. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 119, verses 97 through 99. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I'm always thinking of your laws. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John Eldridge, who is a counselor, he is a teacher, he's also the author of the study we're looking at here at the church in Lent, Get Your Life Back. John shares the following experience of sitting down at his computer one morning to write. See if you can relate. John writes, quote, I'm sitting at my desk this morning writing, my phone laying face down next to me vibrates. The vibration notification causes a reflex response in me, a learned response. I pick it up, I read the text that just came in, I reply, I sit back down, and turn back to my work. But it takes a few moments to recover my train of thought. Meanwhile, I remember a friend sent me a link to an article that applies to what I'm writing this morning. So I decide to take a look now that I'm no longer engaged in the actual act of writing. The article is helpful and does get my thoughts rolling again. But as you know, when you get to any news site, you don't simply receive the article. You're confronted with a visual experience that is one-thirds article, two-thirds advertising, and which of those is typically more arresting? I switch to one of those helpful Bible programs, so I look up the verse. Quicker than I can type Psalm 1, Google ads pop up in a banner columns on the right and on the left of the screen. Google knows my buying habits. Google actually knows a freaky amount of information about me and you. And suddenly, here are all sorts of ads perfectly tailored to get my attention. There are videos and moving banners, and they are so distracting. Finally, like a man who has run the gauntlet, I am able to return to my work. Then another phone notification. My weather app is alerting me of possible snow flurries this evening. And while I pick it up to turn the thing off entirely, a video pops up of some bizarre sea creature washed up on the beaches of Florida, never before seen by man. End quote. Are we not all familiar with these squirrel moments on a regular and daily basis? Oh, look, a squirrel. Yeah, see what I mean? The fact of the matter is, this is how our world, and more disconcertingly so, how our body and mind, our spirits, are being wired today. The experience that Eldridge describes and that many of us encounter is far from coincidental. Technology today, while being far from evil, technology today is designed to grab our attention and then what? Not let go. According to several studies cited by John Eldridge, Americans today consume around 10 hours of media a day, equating to over 100,000 words or 34 gigabytes of information. So consuming this much media is equivalent to listening to 77 of my sermons each day. Or maxing out the storage on your phone in just over a week. Unfortunately, our children, they are not immune to this. Previously, the CDC cited that children ages 8 and 10 are spending over 6 hours a day in front of screens. Children 11 to 14 are spending around 9 hours a day. And children 15 to 18, nearly 7.5 hours a day in front of screens. As you might imagine, this is not without consequence. If we're to believe Eldridge, or even more so, simply reflect on our own daily experience, all this is impacting us. Impacting the way we process information and impacting how we interact with one another. For example, Eldridge brings up in his book, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. This book is written by Nicholas Carr. And Carr mentions in his book how we have already adapted to the speed and stimulation of the internet and our mobile devices. Primarily, Carr contends we don't like being asked to focus on anything for very long anymore, a phenomenon that Eldridge calls living at the speed of swipe. Carr even noted how among his PhD-level colleagues, they noticed in themselves the inability or dislike anymore to read books or articles or even lengthy blog posts. I have a friend of mine from middle school with whom I share a fondness of fixing similar dishes on our griddle. And so from time to time, I'll send him a link to a video on YouTube to share a recipe. It probably has those ads I talked about, but it is what it is. And each time, I receive an annoyed text back from my friend if in that link there is not a summary of the recipe within the description of the video. And why is that? Because my friend can't be bothered to watch a 15-minute video on how to fix a smash burger or a good hash brown omelet on the griddle. I love my friend, but this is living at the speed of swipe. As I mentioned earlier, this impacts both the way we process information and how we interact with one another. Carr writes in his book, it's not only deep thinking that requires a calm and attentive mind, it's also empathy and compassion. Psychologists have long studied how people experience fear and react to threat, but it's only recently that they've begun researching the sources of our nobler instincts. What they're finding is that higher emotions emerge from neural processes that are inherently slow. Let me just say that out loud again. What researchers are finding is that higher emotions emerge from neural processes that are inherently slow. The bottom line is this. Our feverish pace of life not only makes it intolerable to spend 15 minutes to learn how to cook a new recipe, it may be diminishing our capacity to be empathetic or to be compassionate or any number of God-given, more noble dispositions. Even more troublesome is the impact of all of this on our attentiveness to God's presence and God's ways. Eldridge reminds us that God's nature and grace don't match up with the frenzied ways and the frenzied pace of this world. And when life has us consuming over 100,000 words of information or day, or 34 gigabytes, if you think in those terms, we are bound to miss out on much of what God has for us. As Eldridge rightfully points out, being attentive to God requires not only our attention, but also our ability to be attentive. Listen to what the psalmist wrote long, long ago. One wrote, "Those who look to God are radiant." Another wrote, and we heard today, "Oh, how I love all you've revealed. I reverently ponder it all day long." Psalm 1, "Blessed is the one who takes delight in the law of the Lord. He thinks about God's law day and night." Or the psalmist in chapter 63, "I lay awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night." So let's pause for a moment here. When was the last time you gave your mind, your soul, time to look deeply? When is the last time you pondered or took delight in God's way or meditate? The fact of the matter is, meditation, or the act of meditating, comes up 19 times in the Psalms. And all but one of these instances have to do with fixing our attention on what is good. On fixing our attention on God's ways, God's laws, God's own self. And this is what this book and this is what this entire series in Lent is all about. And frankly, this is the purpose of Lent. Carving out time and space for our body, mind, and spirit to be more attentive to God and to be more attentive to the things of God. And so what can we do this week? Last week, Pastor Bethany, through our study, introduced us to the practice of the one-minute pause, setting aside 1 minute, perhaps twice a day, to pray and meditate on the things of God, or the idea of benevolent detachment, letting go of things, not in anger, not in haste, but knowing that you are not the Savior of the world. And so hopefully, if you're picking up this study, you've attempted that this week. Well, this week, Eldridge encouraged us to turn off the spigot of information and notifications that hinder our ability to be present. To be present with God and with others. And so how do we turn off that spigot? Yes, we're talking about our phones. Oh, cringe. But if this message is speaking to you, I'm going to invite you to take down 4 tips. The bulletin's kind of tight this week. I looked at it this week. There's not a lot of empty space. So if you need somewhere to write it down, grab one of our pew envelopes. Grab one of the papers from the red pads. I'm going to invite you to take down 4 tips that you might introduce into your week to slow down, to have a more attentive mind and spirit. Number 1 is to turn off your phone at 8 o'clock in the evening. Some of us might not even know how to turn off our phones. But turn off your phones at 8 o'clock in the evening, or at least set it aside in a room that you won't be in. Number two, banish all technology from your bedroom. Like, I totally get it. I set my alarm on my phone. And so, okay, I need my phone to wake me up. And I know there's ways I can set it to wake me up without it being in my room. Or these still work. Right? Run to your favorite store. So number one, turn off your phone after 8. Walk away from it. Number two, banish all technology. Number three, don't check your phone the first thing in the morning. I promise you, I am not texting you a psalm first thing in the morning. I promise you, the news that is in your newsfeed will be there. Don't check your phone as soon as you wake up this morning. The last fourth tip will take a little bit more time. When your phone chirps, or it vibrates, or gives you a notification, don't react. Choose when you respond to it. So maybe you'll take up one of these practices. I can't say it's going to change overnight, but take notice of what is different. And take notice this week of what God might be saying to you as you quiet the noise. Amen? Friends, as we gather for prayer, I'm going to invite us to be mindful in our bulletin that we extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Stu Bender, a longtime member of the church. Stu passed away this past December, December 1st, 2025. And so we remember his family and friends this day. Let us pray. Loving God, in our lives today, we hardly hear this sound. The sound of silence. And sometimes in the rush of it all, you are speaking to us. You are ever ready to reveal the beauty of your creation. You are reminding us of the goodness of your being. You are singing your pleasure of us. You are speaking words of encouragement and of hope, of grace, and forgiveness. Lord, help us this week to be in tune to you. For indeed, whether we know it or not, we yearn for more of you. More of you to help us find our way. More of you to understand the events in our life. more of you to process. The events in our world both here and a world away. More of you to align our lives with the unforced rhythms of your grace. So come, Holy Spirit, come. And indeed, O God, in the quiet of our sanctuary, we lift the family and friends of Stu Bender. We thank you for how his life and faithfulness has spoken into the life of our congregation. And we pray that you would speak to his friends and family this week through a cherished memory, through a quiet moment, for the beauty of your creation to remind them that all is well. We pray this day, all in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'm excited that we're celebrating communion today, because communion is all about communing with God. To tune our hearts, to tune our mind, to tune our spirit. Indeed, O God, our heart's desire is for you to be our vision. And as we prepare ourselves to receive this gift, we acknowledge that we come forward not because we are worthy, but because of your grace and because of your invitation. Remind us of our forgiveness. Lord, we remember Jesus and his gathering, where he broke bread and blessed the cup. Meet us again, O Lord, and remind us of our covenant, remind us of our special relationship with you. Take this time in the holy space of the sanctuary and of the quiet to reset our mind, body, and spirit to yours this day. We pray all of this, praying the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, though we are many, we share in one loaf and in one cup. At this time, I'm going to invite for those who are helping to assist with communion this morning. I invite you to come forward and to tune your hearts to God's.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of the bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ, torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink
of the ring.
Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the ways that you give yourself to us and the ways that you invite us deeper into your life. We thank you for this meal. We thank you for the ways in which you call us to go out and to serve. We pray that you be glorified today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I ask you to stand as we end our service today with a well-known and beloved song, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet.
So will you do it this week? Just take two of those four tips, two of those four suggestions, and incorporate into your week. And I promise you, this lamp we just sung about is on your path. And you will see it illumine how God is present with you. May that be our heart's desire as we walk into the week. Amen. Amen. Amen.